Team.
It looked like the Case jumped off sides on that play.
Oh, boy. Yep. All right. Will Creek comes out. Third and five. Fergus hands it off. Hooker on the carry. Bayless Hooker once again.
Looked like that time, Dick, it was actually Seabrook's, a little deception there by Oak Creek.
Oh, okay.
Seabrook's able to get up. That clock continuing to run. Case doesn't want to burn their last timeout on this fourth down play.
Fourth and one. Less than 10 seconds to go. And they're going to let it go. Nope.
Yeah, they're going to have to reset the clock back to 3 seconds.
Let's see if they listen to you, Dylan. So what do you do now? Do you go for it or do they try to boot it?
You'd almost want to get points. You already went for two twice. You just need points on the board, especially Case getting the ball out of the half. I would go for a field goal here, but that could be where, you know, Coach Calhoun, first year head coach, not much head coaching experience.
Yeah.
You would kind of want to make a statement, but you also need points on the board.
They're listening to us. So let's see which kicker is going to kick here. There's a snap. The kick is up. Kick is blocked. And there he goes. He went all the way. That was Gabe Buckle. Gabe Buckle picking up the block field goal. To make it 20-12 now, Case with the lead. Plus yards on that recovery, brought back for the score. So Gonzalez to try to make it 21-12 at half. There's the snap. The kick is up. And the kick is good. And that's the end of our second quarter of play with our score. Case 21, Oak Creek 12. We'll step away for 2 minutes, and then hopefully we'll have our halftime guests. You're listening to High School Football streaming live on DG Sports.
Thanks.
Sharp all year at Keep your swing sharp all year at X-Golf Kenosha. Thursday, October 9th kicks off a 10-day fundraiser for the Kenosha Police Department with a special tournament. It's the KPD versus the public in a fun scramble format, all for a great cause. Enjoy giveaways like free golf rounds, KPD and X-Golf gear, and gift cards. And make sure you follow along on social media for all the action throughout the day. October 9th, X-Golf Kenosha, just off Highway 50 west of Green Bay Road. It's more than golf, it's about the community.
Get some extra cash today with an installment loan up to $2,500 from your friends at AmeriCash Loans. AmeriCash Loans is a licensed lender with locations throughout Wisconsin. Just come by the Kenosha store at 6430 Green Bay Road, right in front of Lowe's. You can also call the store manager right now at 262-605-9777. That's 262-605-9777. Or visit AmeriCashLoans.com to apply online. That's AmeriCashLoans.com. Restrictions may apply.
Your crew's got to power through the postseason. Fuel up right now at Studebaker's Fuel and Food. From your favorite energy drinks, sodas, and adult beverages to a massive lineup of snacks, Studebaker's has everything you need to crush those game day cravings. Need it in a flash? Hit the lightning fast drive-thru and stock up without ever leaving your car. Studebaker's Fuel and Food, the all-stars of selection, service, and convenience. Find them at the corner of 31 and Spring in Racine.
This is some of the best riding weather of the season. But pay attention and be careful out there, because unfortunately there have been a lot of unnecessary motorcycle accidents lately. And if you should ever be the unfortunate victim of any kind of accident, call a Hog Lawyer immediately at 888-999-6644. He's the lawyer who rides, and with over 45 years of road-tested experience, he's definitely the guy you want on your side to protect your rights. Call him today or visit him online at hoglawyer.com.
As they forget, because they got so many other things to do.
Yeah, 500 things on their plate. They got to get referees situated and all that kind of stuff probably before they get up to us. Trying to look here while we got a minute for any scores.
Otherwise, I'll read the coaches poll for this week. If you'd like.
Yeah, we might as well start with that. I don't see Joe anywhere around here yet, so.
All right, this is the Week 6 Coaches Poll, sponsored by The Bound. Starting in Division 1, it's Franklin, followed by Badger, Muskego, Arrowhead, and Wanakee. In Division 2, it's Notre Dame, followed by West Appear, Rice Lake, Homestead, and Holman. Checking in at number 9 this week, up 1. From 10th last week is Union Grove. They'll fall out of the top 10 with a loss tonight, and they were losing. In Division 3, it's Catholic Memorial, followed by Grafton, Plymouth, Mount Horeb, Barneveld, and Edgewood. In Division 4, it's Aquinas, followed by Winneconne, Baldwin, Woodville, Columbus, checking in at number 5 this week, up 1. From 6 last week is Racine St. Catharines. In Division 5, it's Northwestern, followed by Elmhurst, Grantsburg, Mayville, and New Glarus. In Division 6, it's Edgar, followed by Regis, Darlington, Mondovi, Manitowoc Lutheran, and Markinson. And in Division 7, it's Kenosha St. Joel's, still in that top spot, followed by Potosi Cassville, Blackhawk Warren, Boyseville, and Cochran Fountain City. Those are your top 5 teams in each of the 7 divisions, sponsored by the coaches poll, but sponsored by The Bound.
No real surprises this week, Dick, in my opinion. Pretty cut and dry.
Yep.
Across all 7 divisions.
And we'll see how that Union Grove team makes out. But we're at halftime here, where our score is 21-12, and we can touch on it, and hopefully Joel will make his way up here. But let's go back to the Packer-Cowboy game. when that extra point was blocked,
yeah,
it was returned and they only got 2 points. Why is this a touchdown on a blocked field goal?
Well, it's the difference. There was a blocked extra point versus a blocked field goal.
Okay.
So
that's the difference.
Yeah, they were trying to kick a field goal, not an extra point. So the extra point being blocked more or less counts as a safety. Where
got it.
They're going for a field goal, it's a normal play. They block it, return it, it's a regular touchdown.
That's very good explanation for our listeners. Because they would probably want to know that, because you know how TV is nowadays in media. I mean, why isn't that this, that, whatever?
They want to talk about every little controversy, every little intricacy of the game. And sometimes we're like, hey, explain the basics to the listeners at home, and it doesn't usually happen. So luckily we're able to provide some information like that.
And again, since Joel has not made his way up here, I think I've spotted him down there. He's got a case, one of those Case Eagle hats that Educators Credit Union was giving out. I think that's him. So I think he forgot. So I guess we're going to touch on it. Dylan does know a little bit about it. So this year, it used to be you needed 4 conference wins to become playoff eligible. That is still true. However, for seeding purposes, they've implemented a point system using the Ohio High School Federation, what they use. So, Dylan, I don't know how much or little you know about it, but let's touch on it for our listeners.
Yeah, so it's a playoff matrix that ranks the teams 1 through, you know, however many are in each division. I think the biggest we have is like 40 in Division 2 or Division 3, something like that. But the 32 teams from each one get ranked 1 through 32. You go from there, you determine, okay, you won against this team, that's 4 points. You lost against this team, well, that's 1.8. You lost against this team who's better, well, now you're going to get 2.4 points for that.
Okay.
So depending on the strength of the team, the strength of your schedule, how you do in the game, whether you lose 55-0 or 10-0, all that stuff kind of matters and adds up as we go on throughout the season.
Yeah, so for our listeners, actually a loss, You can get some points from that.
Yeah. I don't know the exact numbers. I was just making
random
numbers.
I know, you don't, and I don't know. But for our listeners, say you're a Division III team and one of your non-conference games was against a Division I team. In fact, we have an example. Burlington, a Division II team, played a Division I team, one of the Kenosha schools, and beat them. So as Chad Redmer, the head coach of Burlington, told us, he almost defined it as we're going to get double points for that because we won the game and also played a larger school. So that's somehow how it works.
Yeah, it's one of those where they all, you know, it adds up, it accumulates. Every little game matters, and I'm glad that they've implemented a system like that where every point matters, every game matters, because in basketball, we've seen it. Teams put together this tough non-conference schedule. They go 18-4, and, oh, you're a 4 seed. It's like the 4 losses we have were against teams in the top 10 in the state, and those hurt us, so now we're a 4 seed. But that's where football's like, hey, we're going to reward you for playing those 4 tough teams. You might become a 2 seed based off of your 4 losses. Your record only matters to a certain degree.
Yeah, one thing I will say, though, for our listeners also, though, bottom line is if you're undefeated after 9 games, you're going to be a 1, maybe at the worst, a 2 seed. So I'm doing that because in our neck of the woods, if Badger and Franklin remain unbeaten, that's going to be your 1 and 2 seeds probably in this geographical area for the playoffs in Division One.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of reminds us of basketball. You had Racine Lutheran and Racine St. Catharines, both two very strong teams that have to play each other just to get outside the regionals. And for football, that would be like just to get past level two. So tough sledding, but it's part of the game, and you just kind of got to overcome it.
Yeah, so it'll be it'll be interesting to see how things shake out. I'm pretty excited. I want to see how, you know, I want to see how it works, because we talked about that too, Dylan, with the coaches, pro and con. Some wanted it taken away from them getting in a room, you know, to assign the seeds, and other coaches, no, we want to do it. We should be the ones seeding, you know. But it doesn't, from what I understand from the facilitators who are impartial, they said it never really worked well with the coaches.
No, it leads to a lot of arguments. They sit in a room for 5 hours and still can't figure stuff out. They went to the computer model and they said, well, WIA, your computer model got it wrong back-to-back years. Last year, they didn't correct it. Year one, they corrected it. And unfortunately for two teams last year, they got left out of the playoffs that should have been in.
Yes.
And the WI said, hey, sorry.
Yeah, so that is why they're using this system this year.
And it's been pretty interesting. Somebody, I forgot what school it is, but it's out. Oh, now it slipped my mind. It's out near Madison. The schools, there was one school, and then they split into East and West. Oh, man. Can't remember the name of it. Anyways, he works as an administrator in their district. I don't know if it's athletic director or what have you. But he puts together...
Sun Prairie,
yes. Thanks, Dick, for the assist there. He works at Sun Prairie, and he put together the model based off of Ohio. And he puts in all the teams, the wins, losses, and they put out, like, projected seedings since week two of the season. It's been pretty interesting to see how teams continue to some rise, some fall. A team fell after they won, but that's because somebody beat a bigger opponent and jumped them. So it's just been interesting to see how all that stuff really plays out in live time, week to week. You know, every single game matters. And that's where, like, coaches, they always pound that. Guys, this week matters. Guys, this game's the most important. It really is when it comes down to it. You can't take any week off. Even if you're playing, you know, a school that's 0-6 right now going into week 7, you can't take them lightly. You got to put up a lot of points. You got to continue your success. And, you know, just keep things rolling if you're a team.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. You'll see a lot more teams after this weekend is over that have qualified for playoffs. It'll start this week, and then it's the ones that need a win, maybe two, to get in, you know, weeks 8 and 9. But you should have several schools becoming playoff eligible after tonight and tomorrow. Just a handful of games being played on Saturdays, and pretty much it's all Thursdays and Fridays now. They've gotten away from Saturdays pretty much.
Especially down here in our neck of the woods. Up north, they're still playing quite a bit of Saturday ball games, but that's just due to the lack of officiating up north.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But down here in this area, you may get a few Thursday games, but there are very rarely Saturday games down in this area. A lot of the good crews in this area do college ball too, so that becomes another issue. Well, we got 20 games on Saturdays. Okay, well, that's 100 referees. Do you have 100 referees that are good enough to do varsity games, especially important ones? So most teams really trying to play Fridays, if at all possible.
Yeah, you mentioned about the clock, college versus high school. And I noticed it the last time I was at Ann Arbor for a Michigan game, how fast that clock starts up again.
Yeah, and they They switched to the NFL model now in college, where if you get a first down, clock does not stop.
I saw that.
And that's Division 1 through 3.
I saw that.
So you get a first down, the clock just rolls. The only time it'll stop is under 2 minutes, out of bounds.
Yeah. So. And you also see when you're there in person the TV timeouts.
And they come out with the big clock on a stick, and it says 2:57. They stick it in the ground. They go to commercial, and by the time they come back, the teams are out on the field ready to go.
I mean, you and I could do that.
Yeah. Probably get paid about $100 or what have you to get out there and do that. So nothing too crazy, but that'd be a fun job. Something else I'd like to do is work the play clock at a Badger game or something, and every time you just hit the button when they after every play. And it's cool, those type of, you know, when you look at the grand scheme of a game, even here at the high school level, clock operator, a spotter for the announcer. You got a guy running the scoreboard at a school like this. You got a guy running the video board and music. You know, you got three personnel on the chain crew, maybe a fourth if you got the clip. So, ball boys. It's just pretty crazy the amount of work and different things that need to go into a game. You don't really think about all the different game management staff that you need, but in order to run a successful game, you need almost 10 workers that are, you know, getting bare minimum to come and work your game. So shout out to everybody, especially here at the high school level, getting maybe $20 or $30 a game, who come out and support the student athletes by more or less volunteering their time to work the clock, work the announcing booth, run the chain gang on the sideline. All of you are appreciated. So we're just waiting for the little 3-minute warm-up period here at Hammes Field. Teams get 15 minutes to go talk at halftime, and they integrated this new 3-minute rule so that way coaches get the full 15 minutes to talk, because back in the day, your coach would get maybe 10 minutes to talk to you, and then you'd have to go back out and start stretching because, hey, guys, there's 3 minutes left in halftime. Well, we better go stretch. And then you don't get loose enough because your coaches still want to talk to you. And I'm glad they integrated that safety element here at the high school level.
So we're just about ready. About a minute to go here in pregame. Case is finishing their mandatory stretching. And then we'll get this third quarter underway. And Case will receive the ball. So what a way to end the half. Scoring, and we'll get the ball, leading 21-12 over the Knights.
Yeah, that was so big for them, able to get points on the board here as time expired on the clock going into halftime. Case really putting together a nice game, trying to come out victorious here tonight with a win over Oak Creek. We'll see how the final 24 minutes of this one go, Dick.
Yep.
It's not going to take 24 minutes of real lifetime, unfortunately for you, as you got a big day ahead of you tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Lots of travel time.
Yeah, 5 hours, starting at 4:30 in the morning. Going to Ann Arbor for the Wisconsin-Michigan game.
I think your Big Blue will take care of the Big Red easily tomorrow, but we'll see what happens.
Hey,
that's why they play the game.
Stranger things have happened. All right. So Oak Creek getting ready to kick off.
WRJN Racine, WZTI Greenfield.
A surprise onside of their own as Oak Creek, as Racine Case tried to catch Oak Creek off guard in the first half.
So it'll be Paldmick to kick off for the Knights as we start our third quarter.
And every time that Oak Creek has tried to kick the ball tonight, Dick, it's been blocked on that touchdown and on that extra point.
We didn't mention the crowd. Very good crowd here tonight for the Case Eagles. Almost a capacity crowd on this side. So Paldmick to kick off.
And I think Joe had mentioned that it would be close to 1,200 people here tonight, which is always good to see at a high school high school game.
So deep to receive will be Eccles, will be one of them. Matthews should be another one, and there's the kick. Fielded at about the 30, trying to get outside here. And that was Eccles. Nope. Liggins on the carry. 1-2. Hard sometimes to see. So that was Liggins on the return. First and 10 for the Eagles. At the, I think they spotted at the 39-yard line. So let's see. LaPerry should bring him out. He's got wide outs to the right and the left, LaPerry. And stoppage of play immediately as we start the third quarter with a flag.
Right tackle moved just a hair before the ball got snapped. So it'll be a false start here against Case.
All right, we'll try it again here. First and 15 now for Case. LaPerry in the gun, wide outs right and left. Showing blitz, throws it in the flat, complete. And not much there for Liggins. So to bring up second and 15. 11:30 to go, just underway here in the third quarter. Case with the lead, 21-12.
Dickie, even the PA announcer is getting the two mixed up. He called Eccles on that one, and it was Liggins, and there's been other times where he calls Liggins, and it was Eccles. So
I mean, one and two, it doesn't look much different on the back of their shirts.
And they're about the same size, which doesn't help.
Thrown again in the flat, complete to Johnson. Johnson jitterbugging, but not going anywhere. So it'll bring up third and long.
Trying to go east and west instead of north and south and getting nowhere. But a mental mistake here at the end of that play. Oak Creek's going to be getting a unnecessary roughness at the end of this one.
That's not good.
So Case will be moving up 15 yards forward. Be an automatic first down.
All right, a big gain for the Eagles.
That'll put them to the 48-yard line now for Racine Case.
All right, LaPerry throws it in the flat, complete to the 4. Gets to the 40.
Liggins again, nice reception there for Case.
So again, now I can see it. They're starting to wear down the Knights. And I like this getting to the line quickly for the Eagles. Handoff. Right up the middle, a burst.
That's that speed of Liggins we were talking about.
That's what we thought there. We saw the old Liggins. And they get up to the line right away. That was about a 22-yard burst as we go under 10 minutes to go in the third quarter. LaPerry hands it off again. And again, I think it was Liggins.
Yes, sir. Tried to get through the middle of that Oak Creek defense that they've had success on and unable to get anywhere on that one.
Looks like they're going to give him a breather here. Comes to the sideline. All right, LaPerry brings him out. Closing in on 9:25 to go in our third quarter. 21-12. Case with the lead on the march. LaPerry back to pass and then handed it off for the touchdown. To Jackson. Jackson.
Yeah, Morrell Jackson there. A beautiful run to the left. Able to take it about 10 yards in for the score.
Yep. To make it 27-12.
And now it looks like Case is going to go for two.
Well, let's see here.
A little bit of a confusing one on this one.
All right, Anton Graham, the head coach.
And they're getting some sort of explanation here from Mike Brewer. I'm guessing they're going to reset the clock. I think it was about 9:13 probably when they scored, but that might not be what they're talking about. Two-point conversion, no good.
All right. So the score remains 27-12 at the 9:10 mark of our third quarter. And Oak Creek's got a large hill to climb now.
Once again, a beautiful drive there by these Case Eagles, marching down the field with ease and getting into the end zone. Unable to do anything with that two-point conversion.
So Gonzalez to kick it off.
We'll see if Oak Creek can do anything here on their first drive in the second half. Giving up a touchdown in just under 3 minutes. Case getting more points on the board. Having ease, getting down with ease.
Oh, okay. He's not on here. So Barnes will kick it off. Barnes will kick off for the Eagles. There's a kick, fielded at the 30 by Oak Creek, trying to get to the outside. Nothing doing. Case Eagles are there. Keep them inside. So Barnes is the kicker now for the Case Eagles, wearing the same number that Gonzalez wore. All right, we got a timeout. Is that what we got by the Knights?
There's an injured player down for
okay.
The Case Eagles, able to get up under his own power, luckily.
So 9:03 to go in our third quarter. It's been all Case now since that blocked field goal.
Sorry to fumigate in here a little bit of bug spray, but I am getting eaten heavily down here.
All right. They haven't touched me tonight.
My blood must be too sweet.
All right, Fergus in the gun. Wants to throw.
Ooh.
Almost intercepted by Case.
And Michael,
knocked down, though.
Yeah, Michael Farr there went up in the air, tried to get that one just out of his reach. Maybe another yard backwards, he probably would have brought that one down, but he really climbed a ladder in the air to go up and get that one.
Showed that basketball ability.
Yeah, the Oak Creek receiver had him beat, too, so great heads-up play there by Michael Farr.
All right, brings up second and 10 at the 32. Hands it off. Trying to get Case to still respect the run. All right, brings up third and 7, 8:30 to go in our third quarter. Wideouts right and left for Fergus. Back to pass, throws it into the ground. Intended for Holguin, brings up fourth down.
Now, once again, it looks like that's his favorite receiver all night here tonight. Trying to get Holguin, that's who he went to on the last play, where Michael Farr broke it up. Kind of a security net, if you will.
So Paldmick to punt it away. And you got Farr back to receive it. Ooh, thought he might have it. And Case is going to just let it roll and be downed, and then they'll take over.
The first touching is going to be at the 39. That's where the ball will be spotted for Case. So that's one of those where the ball, it could hit you one place, and that's where it's going to be spotted. You may down it 20 yards from there, but they're going to go back to where it was first touched, and that's where Case will take over.
All right, 8:11 to go in our third quarter, 27-12. Case with the lead. They'll start at their own 39-yard line. LePerry's still in at quarterback. He's got him tucked in tightly. This time in the gun. Goes back to pass. Throws. Incomplete. Looking for a Favre on that one. Stops the clock with 8:07 to go. Haven't had a score in a while. Any scoring updates? Been kind of quiet.
Yeah, none of the teams that we cover, unfortunately.
Okay.
There's a lot of scores up north, once again, doing a fantastic job reporting scores, but for us, we just don't get the luxury that they have up there.
All right, 8:07 to go in our third quarter, second and 10. Wideouts to the right for LePerry. Hands it off, delayed handoff, and a flag goes down. Stops the clock again at the 8:01 mark.
It's going to be an illegal shift here. And two guys going in motion at the same time. Once again, mental mistakes against Case. And Oak Creek declines the penalty, so it'll bring a third down, Dick.
Yep.
They're taking the result of the play. Like to give a shout out to @IamJokerATL, tuned in from Atlanta tonight.
All right.
He's tuned in from Atlanta supporting good commentary of high school football.
Thank you. LaPerry back to pass. He's going to air it out. He got it.
Looks like it's Michael Farr there, Dick.
Yeah, on a leaping grab by Michael Farr. So they're just schooling the Knights now. All right, LaPerry brings them out right away. They want to go. First and 10 at the 18 of the Knights. And around.
That almost reverse type of action there for Tolan Johnson, able to get to the outside. Gain of 5 or 6 there, nice run.
Clock continues to run, and as we go under 7 to play in our third quarter. LaPerry will bring him out. He's got wideouts to his right. This time, hands it off.
He tricked you there, Dick. He threw it to Tolan. Oh, no, excuse me. Nicholas Payne. Freshman. He tried to get the freshman receiver over there, and great pass breakup by the Oak Creek defense.
Faked me out completely. Stops the clock with 6:37 to go in our third quarter. 27-12. Case with the lead. LaPerry in the gun, wide outs to his right, one to his left. Wants to throw, got hit. Ooh, almost intercepted there.
Yeah, he got hit as he threw.
Yeah. So an incomplete pass.
The Case receiver went from receiver to defender, stopping the player of Oak Creek. That was Lincoln Hansen.
He had the INT.
He did, until the defender tackled him from behind and broke that one up. So Case is going to attempt the field goal here, Dick.
So Giovanni Gonzalez is going to try this one. So we're using two kickers tonight for Case, too. High snap, but they get it down. The kick is up.
It went to the left.
No good. No good on the field goal attempt.
Had the leg for sure, but must have went to the left on the outside of the field goal posts over there.
Yep. So at the 6:27 mark of our third quarter, it remains Case 27, Oak Creek 12. Well, Fergus will bring him out. He needs to get something going here quickly. Got wideouts to the right and the left for Fergus. Dumps it out into the flat. Complete for maybe a yard.
Michael Farr, nice tackle in space over there.
So it'll bring up 2nd and 8.
After this play, we'll have another update from Waterford.
Wideouts right and left. This time he hands it off, trying to get to the outside. Nothing doing. And that was Bayless Hooker. Dropped for a loss. So it'll bring up 3rd and 8.
Ready for that update?
Yeah, anytime.
All right. So, scoreless third quarter between Union Grove and Waterford. Union Grove, first play of the fourth quarter, rips off a 67-yard touchdown to go up 21-14.
There we go with Union Grove as they come back once again. Fergus in the gun. Back to pass, throws, complete. And may have come up short. I think that was Morris on that reception. So it brings up fourth down, fourth and one for Fergus. Hands it off. Dropped for a loss.
Yeah, that'll be a turnover on downs there, Dick.
So Case will take over. Think Jansen on the carry there for the loss. So here comes the Eagles out with 4:25 to go in our third quarter. Right now they have this one well in hand and they want to add to it. So LaPerry will bring them out. They normally don't huddle up like this with 4:24 to go in our third quarter. Perry in the gun. All right, had a penalty on Case.
So I think what they're calling is his head is over the ball as he snaps it,
okay,
which is a snap infraction.
All right. So we'll start again with 4:24 to go in our third quarter. LaPerry brings him out in the gun. Wideouts right and left. Now has a man go in motion. Goes back to pass. Throws it in the flat and he dropped it. He wanted to run with it before he had it. And that was Liggins. That was Liggins that time. Yep. Was running before he secured the ball, as they say. So it stops the clock again with 4:21 to go. All right, LaPerry brings him out. Got wideouts right and left. In the gun. Back to pass. Here, kind of shoveled it off.
Yeah, got that one out there to Morrell Jackson, but he was brought down in the backfield.
Yeah, like a shovel pass. Now the clock runs as we go to 4 minutes and counting in the third quarter. And again, Case can take their time with this lead. 3:45 and counting. LaPerry back to pass. Rush coming. Completes it. 40. And dropped at the 36.
The turf monster got him on that play,
yep.
Dick. Morrell Jackson tripped. Had plenty of green grass
yes,
in front of
did.
Him, but got caught up by that turf monster.
And we're going to close in on 3 minutes to go. Surprised they haven't had the Baker. He's been kind of quiet tonight.
Yeah, Zach. They've done a good job covering him.
Yeah.
Normally a big target for this Case offense out at receiver.
Okay, wideouts right and left as we're under 3 minutes to go now in our third quarter. And now we got another flag.
It looks like Coach Graham's going to burn one of his timeouts here. Doesn't look too happy about having to do that. But he is going to have to burn one of his timeouts here.
Yep. Yeah, if you're Case, you just want to keep the, you know, the nice sustained drive going, but, you know, eat up clock.
Yep. They're doing the right thing, though. They're running the ball both sides. They're sticking to what they normally do. But, again, they are trying to control the clock, and they've done a good job of it so far. Their Case offense has been on the field most of this third quarter.
So Oak Creek will be at Kenosha Bradford next week. Case will play their crosstown rival, Horlick, next week. All right, LaPerry brings them out. 2:44 to go. And they punted. And a nice punt by Farr.
A good spiral kick, and that one down at the 12-yard line.
So that's where Oak Creek will take over with 2:32 to go. Not out of reach yet for the Knights.
No, this game is far from over.
Two scores. They can score quickly. All right, Fergus brings them out. First and 10 at the 12. Fergus back to pass. Throws and drops it. Again, he wanted to run with it before he had it.
And another halfback screen. Oak Creek really trying to get something, anything going, and they were unable to do so on that first down play. He was wide open, but again, dropped the ball while he's wide open, trying to look upfield before he secures the catch. Yeah.
All right, Ferguson the gun, wideouts right and left. Hands it off this time for a little gain, minimal gain.
Bayless Hooker there once again for Oak Creek.
Clock continues to run as we get down to 2 minutes to go in our third quarter. We'll take a 30 at the break. Listening to high school football streaming live on DG Sports. Fergus brings him out in the gun. Wideouts right and left. Back to pass goes Fergus. Tries to throw it downfield. Incomplete. So it brings up fourth down. So Farr will go back to return this punt. Paldmick to punt it away for Oak Creek with 1:42 to go in our third quarter. Low snap, but gets it away. Farr's going to take it. He's got it. 35-30 down the sideline. They pushed him out of bounds around the 23, maybe.
Very close to a blindside block there by Case, but able to get it off cleanly. Nice return there for Michael Farr.
Yeah. So 1:30 to go in our third quarter. Again, Oak Creek, they'll travel to Kenosha to play Bradford next week. The Eagles will play their crosstown rival, the Horlick Rebels.
6 o'clock start for that one.
6 o'clock start for both games. All right, LaPerry brings them out in the gun. Wideouts right and left. End around handoff down to the 20. About the 15.
Coach Graham wanting a horse collar tackle, but he had him by his back, where the number was on the jersey. So nowhere near the horse collar, just a nice, grab anything type of tackle by the Oak Creek defender.
That was Echols, I believe, on that carry. All right, LaPerry will bring him out. Under a minute to play now in the third quarter. LaPerry in the gun, wideouts right and left. Hands it off, still on his feet. Never did actually bring him down. ...20 seconds to go. They're going to let it run out, so we'll take a 30 here. That's the end of our third quarter of play with our score, Case 27, Oak Creek 12. We'll step away for 30 seconds. You're listening to high school football streaming live on DG Sports.
The taste of fall is calling at Main Street Bakery in downtown Racine. Sink your fork into freshly baked pumpkin pie bars with that perfect hint of spice. Or bite into the sweet, cozy goodness of their apple pie bars, just like autumn in every bite. Add a hot coffee or latte and you've got the perfect recipe for a warm, toasty vibe that makes fall unforgettable. For comfort food any day, check out Main Street Bakery on social media for daily specials. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Main Street Bakery, where every creation is crafted with care.
You're listening to High School Football on WRJN Racine and WZTI Greenfield.
Tonight's game once again features Oak Creek and Case in this varsity football contest.
All right. One quarter to go, 27-12. Case with the lead. First and 10 for the Eagles. LaPerry back to pass, throws. Incomplete.
That's going to be an illegal shift once again for Racine Case.
So it'll stop the clock. We played 4 seconds of the fourth quarter.
The man went in motion, but he didn't get set before they snapped the ball. You got to be set for at least a second. Good catch by the side judge over there. I think this crew's done a good job here tonight, keeping this game in check.
Yep.
Got a little chippy earlier, but they were able to nip it right away.
Yeah, and actually, I'll be the first one to come. He's chopped the clock in very well tonight. All right, first and 15 now at the 17-yard line of Oak Creek for LaPerry and company. He's got three wideouts to the left. He wants to throw that way. He does. But the Knights are there to meet him. So he's getting up slow. And it was Echols. He caught it, but for a minimal gain. Clock continues to run. 11:30 to go in regulation. 27-12. Case with the lead. And again, we want to thank those two new people for messaging us, listening in to our broadcast tonight. We always appreciate that. Dylan and I and Tricia, we don't want to forget about Tricia. We work very hard to bring you a quality broadcast every week. So we're down 11 to play now. LaPerry back to pass. Gets flushed out of there. Here comes the rush. He's going to run with it. Then throws. Incomplete.
Finally intended for DeBaker there, but that one skidded across the ground and brings up third down now for this Case offense.
So it stops the clock with 10:51 to go.
Dick, Indian Trail is up 35-2 over Racine Horlick tonight.
And that'll be the next opponent for the Case Eagles.
Badger continuing in their winning ways. They're up 49-7 over Wilmot.
And again, we saw it firsthand last week. LaPerry in the gun. 3rd and 18. Back to pass. Throws it again in the flat. Complete. Didn't get the first down, but got a nice gain.
They were going to have some sort of penalty here. Might be a holding or a offensive pass interference.
Yeah, we'll see. WRJN in Racine.
We're just waiting for the officials to mark off the penalty now.
And that was Johnson on the reception.